Hey, Bills Mafia. Welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is season 3, episode 15. I am one of your hosts here today, Jake Cranston, along with Jeffrey Webster. What's going on, dude?
Sir, how are you?
It's been a long bye week. I feel like...
Is that weird? Like you wait an entire year for the season to roll around, like since fucking January, you're just waiting and waiting, and then it shows up, and then it's just like a rat race, and then you get to week 7, it's like, oh man.
Yeah, plus really? our bye feels extremely early this year compared to previous years, so.
And I almost think it was like about this time last year, too.
Was it?
Yeah, I think one of the Sabres, or the Bills players was saying something about, it seems like the last couple, 3 years, it's been fairly early in the season,
but. Yeah.
Whatever, they have some injuries, they're getting guys back, extra rest, probably it's good timing.
It kind of works out in their favor based on the injury history going on right now.
Right.
You know, guys can get healthy earlier, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Trey White.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Do you think we're going
to
see him?
To get him back.
Green Bay, are we going to see him?
I hope so. Even if it's limited action, just getting him back in the game, which I'm sure we'll probably talk about a little bit going forward as far as the strength of their schedule.
Yeah.
They've already endured the toughest part of it. We've talked about it before. So any game really probably in the next few is going to be a fine time to get Trey White back. We want to get him back. I think it's a different team and they're already great. So it's just a different team with them and it'll be fun to see him play again.
Yeah.
Sure, he's got to be crazy excited.
If he comes back against Green Bay, is he going to be on a pitch count, you think?
I think they might just because they don't really have to play him 100%. You know, they can work him in
kind
of
work him
the
in.
Lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of just
run a series, give him a series off, maybe another series.
Yeah.
And it depends on how the game goes. Obviously, if they start falling behind and they think they can use him, I think you'll see that with Von Miller, too. You know, I think occasionally, like against Kansas City, I think they played him more than they would have typically, but it was that kind of a game. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if this game is going to be that type of game, to be honest with you.
It doesn't feel like it, man. Green Bay has some major, major issues going on, and it's more than just one player. Even Aaron Rodgers, I seen him in an interview mentioning about the fact that it seems like they're out of position and making bigger mistakes like twice what they normally would.
Right.
And that takes them out of contention to win games. So if they can pare that down and communicate better, that they will do better.
Sure.
And you know, we mentioned about, you know, looking forward to playing the Bills. It's a good test for them, that kind of a thing. It's just what the team needs. And
right. Well, I was going to bring up just the whole fact that, like, is Aaron Rodgers – like finally on the decline of his career because, you know, the guy's 38 years old.
Right.
You know, he's almost to the 40 mark.
There was a day when 38 was about the max, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
pretty close.
I think Jimbo retired at right around there.
Yeah.
And
I think Drew Brees was maybe 39.
Yeah. So
40. Yeah.
That's basically like kind of the threshold ish, right?
Yeah, you get to 40 and I think you're pretty done. Brady's been the exception, but.
Yeah,
we could talk about him too.
Right.
Man.
We've seen what's going on with him. But yeah, I mean, is Aaron Rodgers on the decline right now or is his team just bad? Because, like, let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers, when Devontae Adams left, everybody was like, oh, okay, like, who's his guy now? Because if you think about it, Aaron Rodgers has always had weapons.
Yeah.
He's always had weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you
Jordy
go back
Nelson.
And, yeah, you go back in history, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver. You know, you said Jordy Nelson, you know, he's
Randall Cobb
when he was more in his prime.
Players.
He's had some really good tight ends in his career.
Running backs.
He's had
Amon Green.
Exactly. So he's always
had
a plethora of talent and weapons around
and Aaron
him.
Aaron Jones is still a hell of a running back. He's still a good running back.
Correct.
AJ Dillon's a great running back. He's a backup.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
so you can't complain. He just never has had the weapons around him.
He's had tons of them. JaMychal Finley.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's had him. I mean, he's had a lot of weapons. And then, obviously, Devontae Adams, I'd say, in my opinion, he was probably the most star-studded weapon he's had out of anybody.
I would say.
You know?
That's fair.
So he loses him. And now I think Aaron Rodgers is getting exposed a little bit, as you might say. But I also feel like not only is he getting exposed because he doesn't have the weapons on this team, but I also feel that he's not playing at the level we're used to seeing him play at, just in general.
Well, it makes you wonder, and I think Tom Brady has lasted this long because he's been able to adjust to what his body has changed, like anticipation wise. So I don't have a rocket, you know, Josh Allen. I don't have a rocket, and I don't think he ever did.
Yeah.
But whatever amount of time he knew it was going to take the ball to get to our receiver, he's been able to adjust by throwing it a little earlier. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or timing passes, things like that. But I really wonder how difficult that is for a quarterback. Josh Allen had to adjust to the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He's throwing at a million miles an hour, 12 yards down the field, and it's blowing right through guys' hands.
Right.
Yeah, so he had to dial it back. Well, these guys have to put more into it. They have to anticipate the play a little more. So I think it's probably easier for some quarterbacks to adjust than others.
Sure.
And I think it's exactly true. I think it hit the nail on the head. The combination of him not having Davante Adams, because Davante Adams could catch the contested catch. He could, you know, knock the ball down if he wasn't going to get to it. Like he helped protect Aaron Rodgers a lot.
Yeah, 100%. And if you look at his roster right now, okay, and you mentioned Aaron Jones, he's probably their best offensive weapon, or I should actually say he is their best offensive weapon right now. He's their most talented guy on offense, the best version of a star-studded just athlete on the team. Because
right.
If you look at his wide receivers, Jeff, I mean, come on. He's got Lazard leads the team with 26 catches for 300 and odd yards and a couple touchdowns.
Right.
You know, I mean, after that, Randall Cobb is 18 catches. He's non-existent. You got Robert Tonyan, which is... he's shown flashes of being a decent tight end.
Yeah,
but again,
for over several years.
Right. But again, I mean, Jeff, after you get off Aaron Lazard and Randall Cobb, who's he throwing the ball to, dude?
Right.
Who's he throwing the ball to? Because,
dude, I'm with you 100%.
You got Robert Tonyan. 100%. If we, the thing is, our defense, right? If we can keep down, you know, the biggest play tight ends in the league. I mean, Kelsey had a pretty solid day against us, but
for sure,
you look at the Ravens tight end and Mark Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
We held them to two catches. I mean, are we really worried about Robert Tonyan? I'd say probably not.
I agree.
But again, dude, I mean, after Lazard and Cobb, you got, I don't know if he's Romeo Doubs.
Oh, yeah, Doubs or whatever.
Doubs.
Yeah, the rookie.
Yeah.
He's a later round rookie too, right?
Yeah, he's got 26 catches, 200 something yards. I mean, Sammy Watkins has been hurt. He just got off injury reserve. We could possibly see him play. But it's just up and down this offensive roster, dude. I mean, everybody's like, "Yes, Aaron Rodgers can be, you know, dangerous. He is Aaron Rodgers." Sure.
Right.
But
for sure.
Who's stepping up and letting him be Aaron Rodgers right now?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you're talking about a guy who won back-to-back MVPs, right? The last 2 years. Didn't he win both years?
Yes.
Last year and the year before?
Yes, sir.
And like last year, he had 4 interceptions, the year before 5. He has 3 in the first 7 games.
Yeah.
He also has 1,600 yards in 7 games. I mean, last year he had over 4,000, and the year before, almost 4,300. So
yeah,
he's definitely... the combination of everything, like you said, his age, he may be slowing down. You know, he got the big contract. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, he just has, you know, I've never sat here and really looked hard at their roster until today.
Right.
And it's just, again, looking up and down this roster. I mean, there's nobody that scares me. I mean, if you want to say Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, okay.
Well,
like, are we really worried about two running backs beating us?
Well, they got that first-round wide receiver. What's his name again? Oh, yeah, Watkins.
The guy that can't stay off.
He might be their number one
reserve.
If he were healthy. I mean, it's exactly right. Name another team that we played this year that doesn't have more talent somewhere. Like
right.
We've played teams that have good running backs. We played Derrick Henry.
Correct.
Right? Cam Akers. You know, we played some, even Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, we played some decent teams.
Dolphins.
But yeah, look at the Dolphins. Like, you know, Mostert and Edmonds. And,
yep.
And they've got some good receivers in Waddle and
Tyreek Hill and Gosecki.
Right. But most of the teams we've played, including ours, have a couple, three weapons you have to take into account. The Chiefs have Mahomes, but then they also have Travis Kelce.
Correct.
Who's Aaron Rodgers, Travis Kelce right now? And I'm not saying tight end. I'm saying weapon. Like Aaron Jones.
Nobody. I mean, yeah. Maybe just Aaron Jones. I mean, that's you can.
But what are teams looking for?
Right.
If I'm the Buffalo Bills, I'm thinking, number one, we stop Aaron Jones.
100%.
And then after that, we'll deal with it.
But 100%.
Like, I don't even know who you would focus your receivers on or your cornerbacks and safeties on. Who do you protect against? Like you said, Tanyan or.
Right. No, I mean, it's the NFL. So, I mean, we can't go in like thinking it's a slouch game.
Oh, yeah.
But,
no, I agree.
But again, I mean, we're both on the same page here. I mean, you look up and down this roster and it's like, who really worries you? Besides the guy under center.
Right.
And the guy under center in Aaron Rodgers right now just looks not good.
Well, and the sucky part for them is, all right, now you've got, again, 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Do you go out and you swing for the fences and sign OBJ? Because
yeah, I can't see
3-4. I mean, you're already 4 losses in.
Yeah, does
7 weeks in.
Would OBJ even consider Green Bay?
I don't know.
Apparently he went on a visit there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, how much are you going to mortgage to get help for Aaron Rodgers right now?
Right.
In my opinion, if I'm the GM, I'm thinking at best I might get another year or two out of him, but there's nobody to help. So
yes.
I'm going to need to put some money into investing in receivers, you know, rebuilding possibly the offensive line, defensive, you know, there's
right.
a lot of pieces to an NFL team.
100%. Plus the thing is like when you look at Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, for instance, you never really even crosses your mind that they need to be in a rebuild mode, right? Because
right.
because of who they are.
Yeah.
But I think
it's always little pieces.
Exactly.
Never big pieces.
I think that Green Bay and Tampa and now Brady and Rodgers, I think they're at
they
the point where
about that.
That these franchises got to start looking at a rebuild.
Right.
You know, because
I mean, they're Tampa Bay's a mess in the receiver. They got
so bad.
They got such talent at wide receiver, yet they have nobody at the same time.
It's
weird. You know what I mean?
It's not just like Tom Brady going into Carolina and losing as bad as they did isn't just like a bad loss.
No.
That's like something's really going wrong.
Yeah,
there.
That's like, yeah, you're right. That's like time to sound the alarm. Something. And it's no different than
losing
Green Bay.
Pittsburgh.
How about Green Bay, the Jets?
Yeah, I know.
How about the Giants? I mean, and that's fine that they have decent records. The Jets are what? 5-2, I think. Giants 6-1.
6-1. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I mean, they may be very, very good teams,
but
most people's opinion, they seem to be.
But they're like rebuild teams right now.
Right.
They're like trying to learn to win and trying to figure themselves out.
Right.
You know, you got Super Bowl MVP type quarterbacks that are losing to PJ Tucker or what the heck's his name? PJ Walker.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
You know, a guy from the XFL.
That's the strange thing about the NFL this year, man. Kansas City, when they lost Indy, it was like, well, Indy's a good team. It's like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're
right.
just not.
No.
They benched Matt Ryan.
Yep. For some third down.
Ellinger
third,
or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
third
even know.
Third round rookie? Or I don't even know what he is.
Might even be a couple-year player, just never played or whatever.
I mean, Casey, that was a bad loss for Casey. And Casey...
They bounced back strong.
They bounced back. Obviously, we beat them. They went into San Fran and handled them pretty easily, it seemed
that's
like.
That's really weird.
Yeah, I know.
McCaffrey didn't make any change there as far as the outcome anyway.
He didn't really play much in the second half at all. I was watching that game.
Well, I think at that point they probably went, eh.
Yeah.
But how about, like, New England, man? I mean, this NFL, I don't know how we got on this topic, but while we're at it, the NFL is just completely upside down right now.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it last week, you know, and
it's
just
horrible.
Weird.
Well, Bill Belichick's going, no, that was the play all along. We were going to rotate these guys in and out. But then the game got out of hand. What are you, out of your freaking mind?
He said
no way.
He said he was going to rotate Mac Jones and Zappe in the second half. Like, right. It's not college.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Is this the All-Star game or something? What is it? You're just going to let everybody play a few minutes?
That's what a college coach does for trying to figure out if his redshirt freshman or his sophomore is better.
Yeah.
Like, you don't – like, are you – like, you know what I enjoy the most right now is seeing New England a shit show.
I know.
Because, like, let's be honest, you know – it with Zappe and freaking Mac Jones right now, it's like seeing freaking Trent Edwards and
E.J. Manuel.
E.J. Manuel or freaking, you know what I mean? Like, finally, good New England fans, you get to see what it's really like to freaking suck right now. You know?
Right. Yeah, and right along, I mean, and they talked about it earlier on the radio, I heard them talking about Mac Jones. It wasn't like he was shit last year.
Right.
He is way better than Zach Wilson, but Zach Wilson still has a starting job.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, really? But this is all Mac Jones' fault now?
No, it's not. But Mac Jones, for some reason, like we were talking about it early in the season, he looked like he was on a decline for some reason. He just didn't look right. Like he threw, was it a preseason game?
Well, it might have
been. First half where he was throwing a couple picks against the Raiders.
Yeah, two or three.
You know, and the one was like directly to a guy, like there was nobody around him.
He's done that. He did that in the last game.
That was bad. But Zappe came in and had the one long pass for the touchdown, and then
I've even heard people talking about the fact that like the freaking New England fans, they're like ready to freaking hang Mac Jones. Like this is all his fault somehow, and now their new savior
is here. They moved on to Zappe. Did you see in the crowd? Did you see all the signs for Zappe and stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
They moved on for Mac Jones.
What the fuck after one game?
I don't know.
It's gonna be a fun ride. Like you said, I am going to really enjoy watching them go quarterback to quarterback to quarterback.
Trying to figure it out.
Quarterback. Remembering that of course they have a shit team.
Yeah.
The entire team is not good. So everybody, every quarter, and that's why Mac Jones probably looks the way he does. Every quarterback they throw in there is going to look like shit.
They eventually just don't look right.
Yeah.
You know, they don't.
Why Zappe threw two interceptions.
Yeah. I'm not saying the Bears are a complete junk, but let's be honest. The Bears, they average 15 points a game on offense.
They're not a top five team.
They're only giving up 19 points on defense, which is pretty respectable.
They're okay. Yeah. They are okay.
They got some athletes on that team. You know, they got Robert Quinn, which is a really good D end.
Right.
They have a really good linebacker and number 58. you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
everybody out there. But, yeah, I mean, they got some pretty good athletes on defense. And, dude, to beat them 33-14.
It's a shell of the Super Bowl clubs, man.
It's good.
It's just a shell of what it used to be.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's going to take more than a couple of drafts to rebuild this team.
Yeah. That fan base. I think that fan base moved on from Mac Jones after he got hurt. And I feel like you said, they moved on him pretty quickly. That makes me feel like in the back of that fan base's mind, they didn't really want Mac Jones to begin with.
Right, right. Well, there was even a lot of talk about that in the draft, that it was probably pretty early for Mac Jones, and that he was – everybody seemed to like him.
Yeah.
Like that game manager and what he was able to do last year was exactly that. I mean, they're 10-7. They made the playoffs as a game manager, but he's not the guy that's going to bring a team that's down 10 or 13 points back to a victory.
I think the NFL passed that type of quarterback.
I think so.
I think defenses are too good now. I think guys are too athletic for game manager guys because, I mean, seriously, like you got linebackers that are on these teams like Milano, for instance, that are, you know, 230 pounds and they're flying side on the sideline. It's tough to run a little dink and dunk offense.
Oh yeah.
When you have athletes like you do on these defensive teams. And if you don't have an arm to go over the top and stretch the field on these defenses, you're running a risk because again, I mean, the schemes are so complex these defenses are running now. The athletes they have on these teams and on defense is just it's so much higher the level than it ever used to be.
Right.
And if you don't have a quarterback, I mean we're seeing it all over the league, dude. You know, like
even good looking quarterbacks are starting to look like Burrow had a really good game.
Yeah.
But before that he looked pretty ordinary.
Right. And let's not forget though, that was against Atlanta, which
exactly
we know who Atlanta is. They're Atlanta, right. They're not great.
Right. Like,
So yeah,
they've got a ways to
he
go.
He elevated his game against a pretty mediocre team at best.
Somebody pointed out today that there's like one game this week between two teams with winning records.
Yeah,
Seattle and another
whoever NFC Seattle's opponent. Playing.
Yeah, I don't remember now, but it's like really. There's not another single game with teams with two winning records. That's really insane.
Yeah, that's really bad. Seahawks, Giants.
Giants. Yeah, there you go.
And it's not like the Seahawks. They're 4-3.
Yeah, but I think they got a real shot because I think the Giants. I mean, Saquon Barkley is a real deal, but come on, Daniel Jones.
Well, people are saying Daniel Jones is playing very well right now. I beg to differ. He's playing very well. I mean. He's 66% completion percentage for 1,200 yards. I mean, okay, like, is that great? I don't know. I mean, these are some of his games if you think Daniel Jones is playing great.
Wait, they're 6-1 now?
Yeah.
So in seven games, he has 1,200 and some yards?
This is what I'm about to say. These are some of his games if you feel like Daniel Jones has been playing great. 188 yards against Tennessee, 176 against Carolina, 196 against Dallas, 71 yards against Chicago, 217 was his best game against Green Bay, 173 against Baltimore, and 202 against the Giants. I'm just throwing it out here and saying,
right,
that's not really that good.
Yeah, we're not here to rip up other quarterbacks, but that ain't good.
He had two games over 200 yards.
Dude, that's
and that's barely
games.
Over 200 yards, Jeff. 217 and 202.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You wash that all out. What's he, around 160, 170 yards a game on average? Come on.
That's roughly, yeah.
That's horrible.
That's not good. It's not good. So
not in today's NFL.
No. For a 6-1 team, and you said it, Jeff, the reason why this offense is doing anything right now is because of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
If he was hurt, if he was just not playing good, they would easily be reversed.
Yep. Yeah, and if Chicago is a better offensive team, now they did beat New England, but the defense is good. Their offense is not.
Right.
I mean, they've got Montgomery, Herbert. They got a couple of running backs, but they're wide receivers. Justin Fields has been struggling. They just beat New England. He looked way better.
Yeah.
So maybe that was kind of a breakout for him. Maybe they'll do better. But right now, they're not a good team.
No, I drafted Kyle Kmet, and he's non-existent. Nice, like, does he play tight end?
Yeah,
is he eligible to catch the ball?
I have no idea.
Because he never does. Like,
yeah,
I don't get it.
I mean, sometimes you really wonder why a club that has a talented player doesn't utilize them more. Right?
He was utilized pretty decent at the end of last year. That's why I drafted him. I looked at his numbers.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, probably makes sense. Like to have a guy like that can probably average you around 8 to 13 points a week, which is pretty decent for a tight end. Not a world beater, but hey, I was going to take it. And does he play tight end still? Is he actually playing the game? Like, did he bench him? No, he plays, but Justin Fields can't throw him the ball, apparently. Like,
he blocks. He blocks really well.
It's like, what the heck, dude?
But it is weird because, and it's funny, even in our own division, you got the Jets at, 4-2 now or something like that. And they got two wide receivers that has to be traded.
Yeah.
Because they're playing with Zach Wilson. Like Joe Flacco throwing it all over the field. He's averaging 300 yards a game.
Yeah, he was.
Well, let's get Zach Wilson back in here so he can throw for 200 yards a game.
And it's weird because you take Zach Wilson, you put him in there, and I get it. He was their, number two pick?
Yeah.
And so maybe it wasn't, Robert Saleh's decision to bring him. Maybe it came up from above because he was such a high pick. But, he's
like Baker Mayfield.
You brought him in to do what? Throw 133 yards a game and game manage it? You can't hand the ball off to Breece Hall anymore. He's done for the year. Torn ACL, he's gone.
Yeah, right.
So now what?
Yeah, that will be interesting. They just got, Robinson or whatever from
Jacksonville. Yep.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, he's okay, but he ain't Breece Hall.
He's not Breece Hall.
He's not. He's just not.
Not even
it's not
close.
The same thing.
No, that offense to me, that's gonna hurt him. That's a really big weapon they just lost on their offense.
Yeah, they're not gonna win a bunch of games just running the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball.
They're going to have to throw
the ball. In today's NFL, man, they got to play the Bills twice.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Look at who's in the Jets division, the Buffalo Bills.
Tua, right? And this year, Tua can throw the ball. I mean, he literally is undefeated this season.
Right.
They lost three games that he didn't finish.
Correct.
So, you know.
The thing is, when you're playing,
weird.
If you want to talk about us, the Bills for a second, and the matchup against the Jets, for instance, how the heck are the Jets going to keep pace with our offense? Because Zach Wilson's not going to drop back and sling it over the field on a team like us.
No, he's not going to be able to because he's going to be on his ass.
Well, not just that, but he's going to be getting picked off. We're just way too. I mean, we've already faced some of the elite quarterbacks in the league already.
Absolutely, and didn't they just lose their rookie offensive lineman too?
Yeah. Yep.
Or rookie or second year guy, whatever. A really good offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And Breece Hall.
Right.
Yeah.
They're got down. I think two offensive lineman starters already from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And then if you look at back to New England real quick, I mean, look who they've beat, Jeff.
Right.
They beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So did everybody.
They beat
else
Chicago.
Almost. Yeah.
And their third win was against was it the Jets?
New England?
Yeah.
No, they lost to Chicago.
Or not Chicago. They beat I was thinking of they beat New England.
Right.
Or New England beat let's see. I'm drawing a blank now.
Let's see. They lost to Miami one, I think, right?
Yes. All right. There we go. They lost to Miami. They lost to Baltimore, and they lost to Green Bay and lost to Chicago. So they beat, let me get back on it, Pittsburgh. They beat Detroit, and they beat Cleveland. That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So
Detroit has the worst defense in the NFL.
Pittsburgh is right there with them.
Right.
And Cleveland is Cleveland.
Cleveland's got real issues.
Yes.
They have major, major problems.
Right.
And again, they've given up 186 points, too.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
their defense is not stellar
by
any means.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a weird season. I'm loving it because, of course, the Bills are good. Philadelphia probably isn't as good as their record, but the rest of their schedule is pretty cake.
Right.
There's not a lot going on there, so they'll probably do fine. I didn't look at the Giants or Jets, but... Again, I give Brian Daboll a ton of credit. They've put together a team that wants to play for them. So
yeah, that's the thing.
That's number one, right? You got to get a player's respect, and you have to get them on board with what you're trying to do. Something Sean McDermott's been very, very good at, right?
100%.
Like, he's very good at getting guys to buy into the process.
Yeah,
and Brian Daboll, of course, comes from that coaching tree, so I'm sure it's similar.
Yeah, I mean, not only has Daboll's been behind McDermott, he's been behind some really good coaches.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was on Belichick's staff.
Yep.
He was, when he was in Alabama, he was behind Nick Saban's, you know, and that staff. So he's been on some winning franchises.
Yeah.
He's been with some really good coaching. So
he's been around the block.
It makes sense that he can go into New York. I mean, I'm surprised that he was able to get this Giants team to 6-1 right now.
Absolutely.
I thought they would be improved. I didn't see 6-1 right now. I thought they would be better. But man, that's a heck of a coaching.
Yeah, that's really good, man.
Yeah.
That's going to look good on a resume. No doubt, after doing what he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo,
and
he gets his own coaching, you know, opportunity, and he just makes the most out of it. Good for him.
Yeah,
you know? It's a good dude.
I can't see him trying to stick with Daniel Jones, though. I just can't see it.
I don't think
so
either. I think at some point, they're gonna have to do something a little different there.
It's just the numbers don't lie. I mean, how do you average under 200 yards a game?
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah. And again, they don't. It's not like they have 1,000, you know, number one wide receivers.
Sterling
Shepard's gone now for the season, and
my guess is they're going to do the same type of rebuild the Bills did. Get your quarterback.
I would think so.
Get you a receiver. You know, like via free agency or something.
But they started with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You know, which yeah. is more than what Sean the Bills, McDermott had to work with.
Right, 100%.
So he has at least that.
Yeah, he has that building block, right?
It allows your quarterback to come along a little slower than what they, you know, asked Josh Allen to do.
Yeah.
They tried, but we didn't have the team to, you yeah. know, have a 1,500-yard running back. We just yeah. didn't have it, so.
Yeah, and Barkley's, like you said, he's been great, but he's only going to get you so far.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised. You say they played Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, and they beat him, right?
They did, yep.
Yeah. Because I can see them struggling against teams with a really strong defensive line. They're going to struggle against the Bills.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Because with the speed that we've got at linebacker, with our safeties, Matt Barkley's not going to be able to roll for a couple hundred yards. It's yep. just not going to happen.
No.
So they're going to have to ask Daniel Jones to step up and complete some passes. And, of course, we have a really good defensive backfield. So. And with Trey White coming back, knock on wood, let's hope.
Yep.
But, yeah. All right. So, we talked about Green Bay. We both feel very confident about this game.
100%.
We talked a lot about a whole bunch of different things. I did want to throw a stat of the week.
Yeah, let's
Go
do
ahead.
It.
Go ahead. Give me my intro.
Let's get to Jeff's stat of the week.
All right. So, this is an easy one. There was a bunch. I mean, it really is ridiculous. I seen a stat today where Josh Allen, if he were his own franchise, would be 26th best offense in the NFL right now.
Just by
just
himself.
In his passing and rushing yardage alone.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, that being said, I didn't realize until last week, or week before last, that Josh Allen... when he has a passer rating of 100 or more, he's 20-1. He's lost one game when he's had a passer rating. I mean, that goes to show you how important he is to the Buffalo Bills, right?
Yeah.
Like, as he goes, so go the Bills.
Correct.
So to speak.
Correct.
But in 21 games with a passer rating over 100, he's 20-1. That's fantastic.
That's huge, yeah.
He's going to have a bunch of those this year.
Oh, big time.
I also seen a stat, side note stat, that there's only one quarterback with three 300-yard games and also had three passing touchdowns in those 300-yard games, and that is our own Mr. Josh Allen.
I did see that too, man.
Six games, dude.
Yeah.
Six games, three 300-yard games with three passing touchdowns in each one.
Yeah.
That sets up for such career numbers for him this year.
He's elevated himself so much higher than I think most people even imagined what he would do. You know, I mean,
it's crazy.
Again, you know, I will always sit here and say I thought in my own mind that this kid was going to be good. I just had the feeling. But to the level he's at right now,
right.
It blows my mind. I mean, it just...
We were both looking for the exact same thing in a quarterback in 2018.
Yeah.
Stability. We wanted our Buffalo Bills to be able to compete year after year after year and have a quarterback that could lead this team to do that.
Yep.
This is way beyond
my
expectations. I thought he would be a really, really good quarterback. You and I both, I think, spent a lot of time looking at highlights and film from when he was in college and the way he played. And we both are, I think, are elevated towards players that are willing to put everything on the line to succeed.
Yeah.
And you could see that. You could see that in college. It was probably his greatest asset and his biggest flaw because he refused to just settle for defeat. And he tried to do too much. And everybody said, oh, he's got a terrible completion percentage, he's never going to get anywhere. It's like, no, he has a terrible completion percentage, but he refuses to quit. So he tries to make that impossible play.
Yep.
Each and every time.
Yeah, and refusing to quit means he worked on his game beyond what we probably even can comprehend.
You know? Yeah.
Because, I mean, he just improved. And, I mean, how many quarterbacks have you seen in just NFL history doing physically what this kid can do. I mean, he's leaping over guys. Every year he's leaping over guys. He's stiff-arming,
right,
you know, cornerbacks down, linebackers to the ground. He's juking guys out. Like, I mean, it's just...
And like we talked about before, Bills Mafia, listen to this one. So, yes, everybody knows Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, but when he got to Kansas City, they had double-digit wins in every season, including his season as a rookie, where he only played the very last game of the season.
Right.
So, but he had double-digit wins in all three seasons before he became a starter. When Josh Allen got to the Buffalo Bills, they had zero double-digit wins and were basically a 500 club. In the three seasons prior to him starting, they were 24 and 24, I believe, something like that.
Yep.
Whereas Patrick Mahomes, they were like 33 and 15 or some, like, just completely different situations. Patrick Mahomes walked into a complete football team. Josh Allen walked into a rebuild situation. And just when they made that trade for Stephon Diggs, I will say, yes, he had a number one wide receiver. But until then, it was John Brown's and Cole Beasley's and Robert Foster's and Zay Jones. And he made himself a better quarterback, even under those circumstances, which is why I will always defend him as being probably the best quarterback in the NFL currently. Because, yes, now he's had some real success the last couple of years because he's had talent around him.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, I'm not going to say that Pat Mahomes isn't probably one of the best pure passing quarterbacks we've ever seen in this league, like in history. But the things that Josh Allen can do as a quarterback are far greater than what Pat Mahomes can do as a quarterback.
Right. Give me that line that you read about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Josh Allen can do everything, right?
Yeah, Josh Allen can do everything that Pat Mahomes can do. But Pat Mahomes can't do everything that Josh Allen can do on a football field.
And you could replace Patrick Mahomes with any quarterback you want to put in there. Josh Allen can do everything they can do. They cannot do everything Josh Allen can do.
Yeah, he can. I mean,
because nobody can.
He's probably the best athlete of a quarterback that's ever played this game right now. I mean,
the most athletic player to play the position.
Yeah, besides how good he is with throwing the ball at this current point. But, I mean, there's, again, you can take some of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL that's ever played. You know, Mike Vick, Lamar Jackson, Randall Cunningham, Steve Young, Donovan McNabb. I mean, the list can go on and on. None of those guys are leaping anybody.
I was just going to say,
nobody.
I would love to see a video. I don't even remember a quarterback leaping anybody at any point.
Ever.
And the football I've ever watched.
And it's,
this guy's done it a half a dozen times just since he came to the Bills.
Right. And leaping guys in the NFL in general, you don't see a lot at all. You just don't see a lot of it. You'll see it, but it's very, very rare that you're seeing guys leaping on another. I mean, it's just
only available to guys who are willing to put everything on the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything. You know? Yeah,
guys that just...
The guys you want to follow into the fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the guy you want leading your fire team when the building's on fire. The guy who says, I'll be right behind you. You guys go ahead. Yeah, ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's going, come on, follow me. We're going in.
Right. Yeah. And
the guys love that.
Josh is hungry as hell, man. He wants to win that Super Bowl. I'm sure that he wants to win an MVP. He wants to establish himself as the guy in the NFL. So I guess the question to end this part of the conversation is, if Josh wins the Super Bowl, if Josh wins an MVP, does that stop his drive? Does that ruin what he is?
I can answer that very easily. The one thing that he probably has in common with Tom Brady is that's not going to do it. Because, yes, he's got that one. He will feel tremendous relief, be extremely grateful he got the MVP. He's a very humble dude. But he doesn't have two, and then he doesn't have three. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's nothing that will ever curb this guy's competitive nature. Ask Stephon Diggs, man. They play like video games and shit. He's brutal.
Yeah.
Like, he is so competitive at everything he does. He competed in three sports, I think, in college. He was playing baseball, basketball, and football.
Yeah.
You know, like, he is just, I have some of that in my own blood. Like,
yeah,
that competitive nature where no matter what it is, you want to be better than everybody else no matter what you're doing. Like, I, you know, you do fantasy sports with me. You probably have seen it already.
Yeah.
I get stupid crazy with shit like that just because I don't want to be, you know, the last guy.
Right.
You know, I would just soon be the first guy.
100%. Yeah, and that's what separates the good from the greats, right? I mean,
right.
You know, Josh Allen, like you're explaining, how one's not enough, one Super Bowl or one MVP is not enough. And that comes to mind, like guys like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
You know, you got guys like Tom Brady, you know, like just the great players of these games, you know, Wayne Gretzky and, you know, Derek Jeter in Major League Baseball, or, you know, there's
Crosby, man.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby.
He just refuses to stop playing hockey. Like,
these guys driven. Have a particular drive that, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, like, I remember the story that John Daly was talking about. They're in the clubhouse, and John Daly is sitting there with a big old frosty mug beer, smoking a cigar, and Tiger just got out of the shower, and he's coming out. You know, he's dressed and everything. And he comes out, and John Daly's like, "Hey, Tiger, come on over. Let's have a drink." And Tiger's like, "Nope, I'm going to work out." And John Daly's like, "You just got done working out, and you got out of the shower." And Tiger's like, "Yeah." He was like, "I'll catch you." John Daly's still sitting there an hour later. Tiger comes walking through after his workout. John Daly's like, "Hey, you ready for that? You ready for that beer yet?" Tiger's like, "Nope, I'm going to hit balls now." I mean, that's the difference between the goods and the greats, right?
Yeah, I'll bet you this week was nuttier for Josh Allen than it was for us. Like, I'll bet you he just, it's like this itch in your palm that just never goes away, right?
Yeah.
Like, the man is driven. You can tell the from all reports, the hours, the time, the film, the like off season stuff in Florida, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's driven, man. He's just driven, and one ain't gonna do it.
No,
he's never gonna do it.
I agree.
Until he passes everybody, and then puts a little cushion there, he'll never stop.
Yeah.
As long as he's healthy enough to play, he'll play.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I see the exact same thing.
Yep.
So let's talk about, before we get too far into the podcast.
We're getting there.
We're not bad. You know.
No, we're doing well.
Let's talk about our offensive and defensive players of the game coming up here.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I mean.
We got to
do that, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Assuming we have a complete healthy team, I'm really waiting for that breakout game for Matt Oliver.
Yeah.
I really think it's coming. I think he's been hindered with that ankle injury. He hasn't really had a chance. So hopefully with a week off, he's 100%. He did play the game before the bye. So hopefully this is the final step he needs to get back to completely 100% confident in his ankle, and he will just tear shit up.
Yeah. I like that one because I want to see Ed do something this year. I mean, not that he's just been hurt, like you said.
Absolutely.
And I want to see a breakout. I would love to see a breakout game by Ed for sure, man. Yep. That would make me feel awesome.
That's the defense anyway.
Yeah, defensively for me, I think when you look at their defensive or their offensive line, it's been pretty suspect for him this year. Aaron Rodgers has been on his back a lot. I think there's one guy that really wants to step his game up. And that's going to be Groot. I think Groot, he's got all the potential in the world, and he's shown flashes of it. He didn't have a sack against KC. He came damn close to a couple. And I think there's a really good competitive thing between him and, you know, Von Miller and some of these other DNs and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Groot, I'd like to really see Groot have a big day, grab a couple sacks.
I thought about that myself.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems like Groot is that guy that either you can use the analogy of like a balloon being inflated or a stick that's just about to snap. Like, it just seems like he's right there, like right there. And the right matchup, the right position, he's going to get himself a couple of sacks maybe even more in a single game. It's going to happen.
Right.
Like, he can be that dominant. Now, I know he's still young. Obviously, he's got an entire career to get better. But with Von Miller on the other side, I really got a feeling that you might have made a great call there. Because it's either Ed Oliver or Groot. Like, somebody is going to snap.
Yeah.
And they're going to get a couple of big plays.
I would like,
and sometimes I like it doesn't show up on a stat sheet.
Yeah.
Like Matt Milano last week putting pressure along with Von Miller and forcing Patrick Mahomes into a couple of bad throws.
Right.
You know, because he was the spy. He was the guy that, you know, you got Matt Milano, man. We're going to try and sack, you know, take him down or whatever. But you got to keep him from, you know, running and, you know, keep him and control him.
Right.
And Milano was in his face all day.
He was
jumping in front of him if he wasn't putting pressure on him. Yeah. So.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree. I like.
Thank
that
you,
one.
Sir.
I
appreciate
Groot's a
good
that one, dude. I really
I think
do.
Both of them are good. I like.
Yeah.
I like both picks.
Yeah.
They're good.
Both on the defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Offensively, it's getting tougher every week to pick offensive line or offensive players of the game because, you know, we have like our top three guys that we always feel are going to be the
right.
be the best each week. So sometimes you got to dig a little deeper. I don't know. What are you thinking this week?
I'm going to go with Mr. Knox.
Yeah, I like it.
A fan favorite. They just had tight end day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's also completely healthy now. I know he's had, ankle or something. He wasn't doing 100% all the time.
Right.
And they have asked a lot, especially against Kansas City in the way of blocking and things like that. But, yeah, I think he's also getting real close to that game where he might catch a couple of touchdowns or, you know, I mean, I know he has a couple, but
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Where he's kind of 6 to 8 catches, maybe pushing 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah. I like it.
I think he's good.
I like Dawson Knox. I'm going to pull one out of left field, and I'm going to go with Khalil Shakir.
Good choice, dude.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
he's chilling on my roster.
Diggs and Gabe Davis. We obviously know those two guys can go off at any point and have big games. I'm not going to sit here and pick Josh because Josh is Josh, and you can't pick Josh every week.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you could, but it would get old really fast.
Yeah, it would get old. I mean, Khalil Shakir, if we can get up on these guys, which I think we're going to, I think there's a particular receiver that they're not going to key on all the time, and that could be a guy like Shakir,
right,
where he can get some big chunks, maybe catch a couple TDs. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe he might not play.
He's that kind of a player.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, I don't even know if it'll be this year for sure, but at some point, he is going to show up with his routes, his speed. He's got some high-end fucking speed. Like, he's
great
got
hands.
Some runaway speed.
Got great hands.
Fantastic hands.
I just feel like he's on his way already to
agreed
to be in that starting slot guy.
Yep.
I love Lil Durty. I love McKenzie. He's a great teammate
and
the guys love him and everything. It's just I'm a little suspect after that KC game.
Yep.
You know, maybe Lil Durty can come in and redeem himself this week.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I just feel like Shakir is already there where McKenzie is now, and Shakir can only go one way and that's up.
Yeah, and I think he'll have a role. Either way, McKenzie's not going anywhere this year.
Right.
Like, he will have a role.
Correct.
It just depends on how much confidence they really want to place in Shakir.
Yeah.
Being a rook, you know, they're a little hesitant sometimes. James Cook. I think James Cook will start making more appearances. Shakir, same thing.
Yep.
And more than just in blowout games. But I think specifically, you get up by a few scores, they're going to want to put more and more on these guys.
Yeah.
Get them into the game because they're depth, if nothing else. You know, if they don't ever, in the next half a dozen games, get to be starters, they still will have roles. And I think the more experience they get in the meantime is just going to be a benefit to the club. So
yeah, notice that Shakir is returning punts. McKenzie is not.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's by accident.
Not at all.
You know?
Not at all.
Just because, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not sitting here saying that I don't think McKenzie can't perform or he has performed in the past. It's just something's Something's just not quite there with him right now.
He was off his past
game, man. Yeah.
For sure. You can't argue that.
Yep.
Dropped a couple of passes. Seemed like he wasn't even like in position totally.
Yeah, it's just
something going on there.
Something off of them. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, yeah, McKenzie can redeem himself this week. So moving on to the final of this game, Jeff, what are you thinking? What's in your head?
Well, again, I tend to go probably more extreme than what a lot of people are thinking. But I do think Green Bay should be able to put up some points. I'm not anticipating 30 points. But I am thinking they could probably easily get to like 20 points. I think they could. A couple of field goals, a couple of scores.
Gotcha.
I think the Bills, honestly, they could roll up 42 points in a hurry. Like in a hurry. If they, and it ain't going to be 98-yard touchdowns every time either.
Right.
But Josh Allen's been getting the ball down the field. And I think their defensive backfield right now is beatable.
Okay.
You know, I really do. So
what's your final?
I'm thinking 42-20.
42-20. Good score. I'm actually right on the same mark you are. I think this game's going to be, at some points, it's going to be too big for Green Bay. They're not playing good football, and I don't think this is a get-right game at all against a team that with this caliber. It's just going to be a tough night all around for Green Bay's offense, defense. It's going to be tough. I'm going to – and I already had this in my head, so it was cool. You said 42-20.
Yep.
So I have 38-17.
Oh,
Buffalo,
very cool.
So, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I think we're both about the same page. We think that there's going to be a fair margin, 20 points or more.
Yeah, and I think that 17 is going to come, you know, towards the end of the game. Bills are kind of playing off a little bit, you know.
Late touchdown.
I even feel a little, you know, I don't want to sound greedy here, but I even feel a little bit iffy of giving them 17.
Well, that's kind of where I came up with 20, because immediately I'm thinking, you know, maybe 24, 28, and it's like, I just don't see it, man. This defense is so good.
Yeah, not at home, not on Sunday night, and not against, I mean, we
not against a healthy squad.
No, dude. It's just, no. I can't see it. 17, I feel a little generous giving them, but I'll stick with it because I don't want to.
Yeah, you never
I don't want to say like 52-3 or something. Like,
you know,
that
Case
would be
Keenum comes in, he throws an interception or pick six. You never
know. He fumbles.
Yeah, whatever.
They pick it up, run it back.
Shit can happen, but.
Right. I don't want to see – that's the one thing I don't want to see. I mean, I'm not going to complain horribly, but I don't want to have to see Josh sit in the fourth quarter, man.
Right.
I want to see the kid play the whole game.
Unfortunately, it's a real possibility.
I know it is, and I don't
– I don't even mind if it's halfway through the fourth quarter. You know, if you got to sit
with, like,
for
5 minutes left, fine.
Yeah.
But don't bench him. Don't bench him with the full fourth quarter to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let the kid get some stats.
Yeah, it ain't like we have a rookie quarterback we're trying to get playing time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, if we had that guy, if we had a, you know, Pickett or somebody like that, hey, you can get him some playing time.
Right.
So, it's freaking Case
cares?
Keenum and Matt Barkley.
Yeah, no one cares to see Case Keenum finish
play
a game.
Absolutely.
And I get it. Sorry, Bills Mafia. I know you don't want – nobody wants to see Josh get hurt in a meaningless portion of the game, so to speak.
But MVP.
But at the same time – at the same time, it's like, I don't know.
We're going to have to track
times,
how much time he's not played.
That's what I mean. How many times can you sit down a – starting quarterback during the regular season? I mean, geez.
Like Aaron Rodgers in the last two MVP seasons, Lamar Jackson, the year he won MVP. How many times does this guy sit?
Yeah, right?
It's not his fault that we have a tendency to blow people out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Let's look at that after.
Because he's already down. I know it was like 3 minutes ago in the third quarter, I think, against Tennessee.
Right.
And then, was it Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, they sat him.
Part of the way through the fourth quarter, they sat
him. I think the whole fourth quarter he sat.
Was it the whole fourth?
I believe so.
So he's already out a whole half of a game.
Pretty much. Yeah, let's look at that. Let's talk about that next week. We'll look into it. We'll bring that up because that could be either a good convo or a part of a Jeff State of the Week type thing, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, man.
All right. Well, thanks,
everybody.
The
nice thing about being a Bills fan, you get Stat of the Weeks all over the place. You could do four stats of a week.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure you check us out on our social pages. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, all at ETD Buffalo. Listen to our podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify. Our main page is ETD Buffalo. It's on anchor.fm. So make sure you check us out there. And, yeah, I mean, this could be a big blowout type game. I don't see it going any other way, really, to be honest with you. I think we're kind of at that point where we're going to beat bad teams pretty bad. So
yep, and they look bad.
They do.
All right, brother. All right.
We'll be back next week. Again, thanks, everybody, for listening. And just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills!
Go Bills!